Amen, amen. You may be seated. And turn with me, if you will, to the gospel as recorded by Luke, chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. We are reading today from the New King James Version. And our entire scripture lesson text can be found on the insert in your bulletin and on page 587 of your pew Bible. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and consider what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Pray with me this morning as we examine this text with this thought in mind. Rejoice, for the Lord is with you. Rejoice, for the Lord is with you. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you once again for the privilege and opportunity of standing before these thy people. And Lord, we pray now that the words of my mouth and that the meditation of all our hearts will be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Let the redeemed of the Lord say, amen. Amen. Christmas time is traditionally the time of year when we put aside our troubles and our problems and we seek enjoyment and peace for ourselves and for those around us. A lot of folks, not everybody, but a lot of folks try harder to be nice to people around Christmas, but not everybody. But even though it's only temporary, Christmas time is a time when people expect to be a little more joyful than the rest of the year. But some of us may find it hard finding joy this time of the year, this year in particular, because times are tough right now. The economy is still in the tank, and people are hurting, and the politicians are stuck on stupid. Lunatics are murdering babies in school while other lunatics insist to us that the answer to the gun problem is more guns. All right. And it's difficult to find something to be joyful about in the midst of times like these. But as difficult as it may be, I'm here to tell you that God is able to do it for you. God is able. I'm standing here as a witness to declare that the God that we serve is an expert at delivering joy in the midst of sorrow. And I know that might sound strange, but I declare that God can do it. So I'd like to spend just a few moments this morning as we approach the Christmas holiday telling you about a God who can perform the impossible. I want to spend just a little time sharing with you the reason why we can all rejoice at the gift that God gave to the world with the birth of Jesus so many years ago. God sent a Savior to a world that did not realize how desperately it needed a Savior. The world may not have rejoiced at the birth of Jesus, but we should. We should. Those of us who know the Lord should rejoice every time we think about that conversation between Mary and the angel Gabriel. We should rejoice because Gabriel brought the news that God was sending a new king into this world. We should rejoice. But the question is why? What do we have to rejoice about? In the midst of these difficult times, times of heartaches and pain all around us, what reason do we have to rejoice at the birth of a Jewish baby 2,000 years ago? Well, the answer is in the text. So let's turn to this text to discover why we should rejoice at the coming of Christ into this world. So looking at the text in verse 30, it says, "Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God.'" We should rejoice that Jesus has come because with Jesus come the blessings of God. The blessings of God. God wants to bless you. And he wants to bless you personally. The birth of Jesus is not just a memorial event that happened long ago and far away. The birth of Jesus made the saving grace of God available in your time and in your life. God planned your blessings before the world began. But when Christ was born, that plan came to life. And that's a reason to rejoice. First, to know that you existed in the mind of God before you got here. And secondly, to know that God always carries out his plans faithfully. Faithfully. See, God is not like us. We often intend to do good for people, but many times we never get around to it. Something comes up. We get busy. We forget. We run out of money that we were planning to bless them with. But God never fails to fulfill what he promises. And that's why we should rejoice. Because God decided to bless the world with a Savior before the world began. And even though this world has as much need of a Savior today as it did at the time Christ was born, God is still doing his work. There's as much evil in the world today, and some would say even more, than when Christ was born. But God is still working in this world. God is still giving us a reason to rejoice. We can rejoice because God fulfilled his plan to bring blessing to us in the midst of evil. We can rejoice about that. So even though we may be struggling with financial difficulties, we are blessed because God has sent Jesus to be the great treasure in our lives. And we can rejoice at that. Even though we may be having difficulties with those that we love, we are blessed that God has sent Jesus to be the lover of our souls. We can rejoice about that. And even though we may be in conflicts on our jobs and even in our homes, we are blessed that God sent Jesus to be our rock on shaky ground. We can rejoice about that. And even though it may seem that we're being tossed and driven like a ship in the sea, we are blessed that God sent us Jesus to be our anchor in a time of storm. When it feels like we're about to go under, all we need to do is speak to Jesus, like his disciples did when they're out on the Sea of Galilee and they're about to sink. They said, "Lord, help us, we're in trouble." And then wait for the Lord to say, "Peace, be still. Peace, be still," and calm the seas of your life. Now, if you've never been there, you don't know what I'm talking about. But if you've ever had to call on the Lord when nothing else in your life would work, then you know that the Lord is faithful. And when you call him, he will answer. And we can rejoice in that. Mary was giving a special blessing. Among all the human beings who ever walked this earth, she was blessed most gloriously. She was blessed to be the chosen vessel to bring forth the Son of God. The angel Gabriel encouraged her to rejoice because she had been uniquely chosen by God to receive that special blessing. You notice that the angel called her by name. He said, "Mary." God has selected her personally to receive those blessings. And you likewise can rejoice if you have accepted Christ, because then that means that God has special blessings designed for you only. God has selected you to receive his blessing. That means that God has blessings with your name on it, waiting for you to receive it. All you have to do is ask him for it. Have you ever gone through difficulties when you ask, "Why me, Lord? Why has this happened to me?" Or have you ever received a blessing and you said, "Well, what did I do to deserve this?" And the answer to both questions is the same. You don't deserve it. It's just the sovereign will of God for your life. God wills it. God chose you to go through certain things. God chose you to receive his blessings. So as we come into the will of God, we thank God for his blessings, and we thank God for carrying us through those times of hardship that we don't know why they come upon us. The same God is there with us. And that's why we should rejoice, because God chose us to receive his blessings, and he has demonstrated his determination to bless us by sending Jesus into the world to be our Savior. We should rejoice that Jesus had come, because with Jesus come the blessings of God. God wants to bless you personally. But Christ came to bring blessings not only for you and me, but for the whole world. Listen as the angel continues in verse 31. "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." We should rejoice that Jesus has come, because with Jesus comes the kingdom of God. With Jesus comes the kingdom of God. The kingdom of man has been in place ever since man disobeyed God and was tossed out of the Garden of Eden. We suffer today because we live in the kingdom of man instead of the kingdom of God. But God is still in control. God is still in control. With the birth of Jesus, God reestablished the threshold of his kingdom down here on earth. And in the kingdom of God, we have the opportunity to see what love really looks like. And Jesus gave us a glimpse into God's kingdom in that great sermon known as the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, it says, Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." All of the suffering and hurt that this world continues to endure is due to the fact that we live under the kingdom of men and not under the kingdom of God. In man's kingdom, the rich rule and the poor suffer. In man's kingdom, the powerful get served and the weak do without. In man's kingdom, the wicked thrive and the righteous are overlooked. But in God's kingdom, things are different. In God's kingdom, the weak are strengthened and the poor are enriched. In God's kingdom, the righteousness is rewarded and evil is punished. In God's kingdom, those who are hurting get healing for their wounds. The angel Gabriel told Mary that the child she would bear would bring that kingdom to the earth and that it would never end. So when we look around us at the state of the world, we wonder, well, where is this kingdom that Jesus was going to establish? The kingdom exists today in the hearts of those who believe in Christ. The kingdom of God exists today in the hearts of the believers of Jesus Christ. So if the world is going to see that kingdom of God, it must see it through us. One day Jesus will return and establish that kingdom on earth for all to see. And the Bible says that he will reign over that kingdom with a fist of iron. But today we can rejoice because God has decided to establish his kingdom through you and me. And he reigns over that kingdom through the power of his love that he sheds down here on us. So we can rejoice today because Jesus did establish the kingdom of God on this earth. And it will never end as long as the church is doing the work and the will of God. So we need to rejoice that Christ came into the world to show us what the love of God looks like. And to show us what the kingdom of God feels like. If you're part of the kingdom, you need to rejoice. If you're part of God's kingdom, you have to tell the world that the kingdom of God is here right now, and the time to rejoice is right now. We should rejoice that Jesus has come because with Jesus comes the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is so much different than the kingdom of man. In the world in which we live, in man's kingdom, we face many impossible problems. There is war and strife. There is hunger and disease. There is crime and cruelty. The governments of this world have demonstrated that they have no answers for these situations. So it seems like finding a solution to these problems is an impossible task. But God has declared in his word that our ways are not his ways. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. So we can rejoice at the coming of God's kingdom because then we'll get to observe God doing things his way. And when we start doing things God's way, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. Listen again to Mary and the angel Gabriel. In verse 34. Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who is called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." We should rejoice that Jesus has come. Because with Jesus comes the power of God. With Jesus comes the power of God. And with God, nothing is impossible. The angel told Mary that she would have a child while she was still a virgin. And he told her that her cousin Elizabeth was pregnant way past the childbearing years. Both of those events are impossible from a human standpoint, but God was displaying his sovereign power to accomplish his sovereign will. Elizabeth was pregnant with John the Baptist, who would be the forerunner for the Lord Jesus, the one who would go out into the wilderness and preach to Israel to repent because the kingdom of God was at hand. And with that kingdom came the knowledge that God is able to accomplish all that his will demands through those who obey him. The power of God is unleashed through the faithful, those who take him at his word. God does the impossible through those who believe in his word. That's what the Lord Jesus told his disciples on the night before he was crucified. In John chapter 16, beginning at verse 7, Jesus explained to them that he was going away, but he was going to leave them a power that the world could not stop. In verse 7, he says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." And then in verse 12, he says, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you." Everyone who has received Christ has been empowered to do impossible things in their lives. Things that they thought were impossible that were possible with God. Every Christian can say, like Paul says in Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And just as the angel told Mary that the Holy Spirit would come upon her and that the power of the Almighty would overshadow her, that same Holy Spirit overshadows and empowers all who trust God. That same Holy Spirit indwells and sanctifies all who obey God. That same Holy Spirit guides and encourages all who live for God. That same Holy Spirit instructs, illuminates, and enlightens all those who love God. It is through the Holy Spirit of God that we have the power to do the impossible. Sinful habits can be conquered through the power of the Spirit. Through the power of the Spirit, but you must let the Spirit have his way. God does not empower you to do things your way. No, he doesn't. Anger, lust, envy, hatred, and other defiling emotions keep you from doing the will of God. They keep you from getting close to God. But these can be overcome. These can be set aside by the Holy Spirit. But you must let the Spirit have his way. Let God be God in your life, and he will bring you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. So we can rejoice at the birth of Jesus because it was Jesus who made it possible for us to have Holy Ghost power in our lives. We should rejoice that Jesus has come because with Jesus comes the power of God. And that answers the question. That gives us our reasons for rejoicing. We should rejoice that Jesus has come into the world because with Jesus comes the blessings of God into our individual lives. With Jesus comes the kingdom of God in our lives, and through our lives, the kingdom is lived out. And with Jesus comes the power of God to overcome all those things that try to hold us back in our lives. It does not matter what the rest of the world thinks about Christmas. They can commercialize it. They can try to remove Christ out of Christmas. But we who belong to Christ know what this day means to us. And we know why we rejoice. We rejoice because Christmas represents the fact that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That one verse sums up all of God's love for us, that great gift that God gave. And we can rejoice because Christmas represents the fact that God did not leave us as orphans in this world. He sent us a comforter. He sent us a leaning post when we get weary. We can lean on Jesus when we're out of strength, and Jesus has declared that he will be our strength. He said that he would be our burden bearer. And sometimes we get lonely in this world. Sometimes we feel weak and unloved. And we can rejoice because God has sent us a great comforter. All we have to do is call on him in the lonely hours. Jesus promised that he'd be with us always, even until the end of the world. We can rejoice because Christmas means that God has not left us wanderers in a strange land trying to find our way back home. He sent Jesus to be our guide. And that's why Jesus said before he left, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Many times we get turned around in this life and we don't know which way we should be going. But we can rejoice because God has sent us a great shepherd to show us the way back. When you start feeling lost and lonely, just look to Jesus. Look to the words of Jesus. And he'll give you a guide from that point It may be just a verse of scripture that will guide you into the way that God wants you to go. We can rejoice because Christmas means that God has not left us as damaged good, sitting on the side of the road, soiled and sinful, lost and alone, without hope in the world. He sent Jesus to be our Redeemer and to claim our lost souls, to repair the broken, to cleanse the soil, to recover that which had been cast aside. We can rejoice because God sent us a great Redeemer, and he has found us and cleansed us and washed us with his blood. So we can rejoice every time we think about Christmas, because Christmas means that God is ready to take us back. God is ready to forgive our sins. It means that God has closed the gap that would have kept us out of heaven. The Bible tells us about this great gift that God gave. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord." The gift of God is the greatest gift that you could ever receive. The gift of God is the gift that keeps on giving. The gift of God is where God says, "I'm going to give you all that I have." The gift of God is the gift where Jesus says, "I'm going all the way to the cross for you." The gift of God is the gift where the Holy Spirit says, "I'll be with you always, even until the end of the world." So we can rejoice every time we think about Christmas, because it reminds us of all the love that God has sent down to redeem our soul. Christmas reminds us of the love of God. And so you may be wondering, what now? I admit that God has sent a great gift. God has given us all, but what do I have to do to benefit from it? Well, in just a moment, I'm going to have an altar call. In just a moment, I'm going to ask everyone to come forward and open their hearts to the Lord. Right now, if the congregation will stand. If the choir can come and lead us in a hymn. If you prepared your heart to receive God's great gift, if you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, all you need to do is to come in repentance and faith and receive the gift of God. You can come as a candidate for baptism. If you've already been baptized, come by your Christian experience. If that's your case, when the call is given, you come. If you've already received Christ, if you're in the church, but it seems like your joy has gone missing, you can get it back. God knows where to find it. Come in prayer and ask the Lord to restore to you the joy of your salvation. If that's your case, when the call is given, you come. Or if you just want to thank God, thank God for the joy that he brings to your heart every day. Thank God for the peace that you experience with him every day. To thank God for the power which he keeps your soul every day. If that's your case, when the call is given, you come. Come to the altar of God, all who desire prayer. The doors of God's church is open for prayer. As the choir continues to sing, come now and gather around the throne as we prepare for prayer.
Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your great gift. We thank you, Lord, for lifting us up and for saving our souls, for washing us off and allowing us to go on in your name. Lord, we thank you for family and loved ones, for friends and associates. We thank you most of all, Lord, for this church family, that we're able to gather here in your name and sing praises unto your holy and divine name. And we pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would go down into our lives and touch every part of our life, Lord. Lord, lift us up and make us over so we're able to do those things that you have called us to do. We thank you, Lord, because you've brought us from a mighty long way. We ask you, Lord, to keep your hand of healing upon us. Touch those who need a touch of healing in their bodies. And touch those, Lord, who need their souls and spirits uplifted, Lord. Only you can do that. We ask, Lord, that you would do what only you can do. And, Lord, we ask that you would make us faithful witnesses of your love, your grace, and your mercy. Let us go out telling this great story, Lord, how you turned us around, how you washed us off, how you saved us, Lord. And we thank you for that. Keep us, Lord. Keep us in your holy power. Draw us, Lord, so close that one cannot fall for the other.
Lord, we pray that you will, as you brought us through this year, continue to keep us, Lord. We pray for encouragement ministry. We pray for vessels of honor, Lord. Let your will be done at this place so that your word will go out and save souls and change lives. We thank you in the precious name of Jesus, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray, Lord, that you take control of our lives. Lead and guide and direct. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray that you lift us up and protect us from the evil one. In Jesus' name, we pray, Lord, that you would send us out into this cold and evil world as lights in darkness. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray that you just wrap your arms around us and keep us. For it's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray, and for his sake we pray. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Praise God. Praise God. All hearts, minds clear. Get right, church, and let's go home. Get right, church, and let's go home. Get right, church. Get right, church. Get right, church, and let's go home. I'm going home on the morning train. I'm going home on the morning train. I'm going home. I'm going home. I'm going home on the morning train. Get right, church, and let's go home. Get right, church, and let's go home. Get right, church, get right, church. Get right, church, and let's go home. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Let's all say together, amen. Go in peace. Go with God. And have a Merry Christmas, everybody.